Epilogue: The Future of Campabilities. Quote by Maddie's mom. Campabilities has forever changed our lives. Maddie went to camp the first time a quiet, shy little girl. After her fourth year, she is now a completely different person, strong, independent, outgoing, and mature. She believes in herself. She believes she doesn't have a disability, but rather a different ability. Photo description. Coaches tactile modeling, batting in beep baseball. At the beginning of each new camp, I felt the anticipation of that first opening ceremony at Brockport long ago. Since the launch of Camp Abilities in 1996, more and more people have gathered with me to say, let's do this. And the idea has spread around the world to serve thousands of children, parents, counselors, and teachers. I'm proud of what's been accomplished, but never satisfied. I know we can do more. What have I learned over the years? A lot about the persistence and courage of children who are blind or visually impaired. A lot about the kindness and skillfulness of people who have pitched in to help those children meet their potential. A lot about the generosity of strangers who have contributed in so many ways. Here is what I know. My job is to teach. That might sound obvious coming from a college professor, but it took me a while to realize that I wasn't just organizing sports activities for children who are blind or visually impaired. I was teaching these children to see their abilities, not shrink behind their disabilities. What's more, I was teaching them to be advocates in their own cause, to say to the world, I can do this. Kids want to learn. They want to be better, to be like their peers, to be confident enough to try new things, to excel, not just participate. People often think of teaching and learning as a top-down process, teacher to student. At Camp Abilities, it is the campers who drive the learning. We teach them how to do what they want to do so they can teach themselves how to be who they want to be. Marginalization is a constant threat. Some children will say they hate a particular sport because they've never actually seen it played and therefore don't understand what modifications or adaptations are possible. No wonder they feel marginalized. Their world defaults to you can't instead of teaching them to think I can. Our everlasting mission is to reverse that retreat to the sidelines. We do this in part by stressing the value of designing activities for individuals of all ages and abilities. That means more than being inclusive. For example, a public park can be inclusive with a picnic table accessible for wheelchairs and a guardrail for people who are blind. But if the park is universally designed, the guardrail will have two levels for people of different heights. The picnic table will have a cutout open space in the bench for people in wheelchairs, as well as a shorter bench and a lower table to accommodate children. And the slide will have a railing from the end of the slide back to the ladder so children who are visually impaired or blind can make their way back to the top independently. Inclusive is good, but insufficient. Universally designed is for everyone. Parents, counselors, and teachers need to be learners. Parents of children who are blind or visually impaired need to raise their own expectations. If parents think their children can't, it's certain they won't. That's why we spend time on parent orientation at the beginning of each camp. Parents accustomed to their children's dependence need to see how to flip that to independence. For some, it's a difficult transition. Counselors too often fall into the trap of protecting rather than challenging children. Of course, safety is an important concern, but so is risk-taking. We must push counselors to balance the two. Physical education teachers are human. They don't want to teach something they don't know much about. Asking them to accommodate modifications for students who are blind or visually impaired is often a bigger challenge than they can or want to handle. The reality is that most physical education professional preparation programs require only 1 3-credit course in adapted physical education. This one course must cover everything, including laws, assessment, behavior management, instructional strategies, paraeducators, writing IEPs, and every disability they may encounter. Most professors spend little or no time on how to teach children with visual impairments. If they do cover it, the most they may do is put the students through a simulation or have them watch a video. At the same time, college students who go through a professional preparation program to become a teacher of the visually impaired rarely, if ever, learn how to make accommodation for physical education and sports. These disconnects create a large gap in educational experiences. The losers are the children with visual impairments and their families. That's why we coach campers and parents on how to help teachers take the first step. The payoff comes when teachers see the value of making changes to include those who deserve to participate fully. Doing this for one student makes it easier for the next generation. Not all projects turn out well. One of our Camp Abilities parents organized a fundraising promotion in conjunction with Albany Shock Jock radio station WPXY. The premise of the promotion seemed more than a bit outrageous: to let people with visual impairments drive race cars around a local dirt track, the Fonda Speedway, with a NASCAR driver aboard navigating. It was called the IROC, EYEROCK 500, and it was a huge hit with the fans, raising over $17,000 for Camp Abilities the first year. Prior to the race, the station would interview some of the drivers who are visually impaired, and our volunteer would describe how Camp Abilities would use the money. I phoned in several times to answer questions. Now imagine this: people who didn't have a driver's license because they were legally blind, racing each other at 60 miles per hour around a dirt track. I loved the sight of fans, children, and adults lining up for autographs with the blind drivers after the races. The promotion went on for several years, but success came at a price. The station relished its ability to insult and offend everyone, including those with visual impairments. These insults often perpetuated negative and even false stereotypes about people who are visually impaired. The New York chapter of the National Federation of the Blind finally wrote a letter to the station complaining about the insensitivity and downright cruelty of the comments. They signed my name on this letter as well, angering the radio station after all they had done for camp. The following summer, WPXY sold the rights to the promotion to another Albany station. The new race venue filled the stands, but also the pockets of the station owners. Camp Abilities received only $1,000, a small fraction of the gate proceeds. The station used the Camp Abilities name to make profits for its own business. I look back on the event with mixed emotions. Many of the participants loved feeling like real race car driver in spite of their blindness. The event was a huge source of pride for the racers, but the original station, WPXY, also perpetuated negative stereotypes of people who are blind for its own profit. I could not condone that. With these lessons in mind, let's consider the future of Camp Abilities, a topic I find both daunting and exhilarating. Daunting because there is so much to do. Exhilarating because if we do it, every child in the world who is blind or visually impaired will benefit. Big expectations, big challenges. What are my goals? In a sentence, to have a Camp Abilities within a half day's drive of every child with a visual impairment. In the United States, that would be at least 50 camps in 50 states. Our to-do list is long, but many projects are underway. We have created a Camp Abilities startup manual that is available for free on our website. Through a Lavelle Fund grant, we developed an entire library of training videos for parents, teachers, and coaches. So far, we have completed cross-country running, swimming, track and field, basketball, soccer, wrestling, rock climbing, biking, fishing, kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, and hiking. Also, one on infusing the expanded core curriculum into physical activity, and one about teaching self-advocacy. Under a new Lavelle grant, we are in the process of making tip sheets, a manual, and videos for teachers and parents related to teaching children with visual impairments and additional disabilities. Another resource is the Northwest Association for Blind Athletes. This organization that provides sports and recreation for individuals with visual impairments is an amazing resource as well. In addition to their year-round programs, they offer a variety of training materials on their website as well. I am proud to say that Billy Henry, the CEO and founder of NWABA, hired one of my amazing camp graduate assistants, Stacy Gibbons. Stacy has helped Billy start a Camp Abilities in Washington and Oregon, which is now called Camp Spark. Together, they have grown this incredible organization and have just hired two of my students to join their team. This is great news since the need in our country is so great. There are over 63,000 children with visual impairments in the United States today. In our camps around the country, we provide sports opportunities to a small fraction of that number. How can we reach the others? In 2002, Camp Abilities began collaborating with the American Printing House for the Blind on product development and field testing. APH is doing incredible work, and our campers, counselors, and specialists are always excited to try out new and innovative products such as balls, sports kits, books, sports websites, and videos. We tell our campers about APH so they can let their physical education and teachers know that adapted equipment and teacher resources are available at no cost on quota funds. In all of our camps around the United States each summer, we may reach 1,000 plus children of the 63,000. This is unacceptable to me and to my entire team of teachers, coaches, professors, and researchers. In 2022, we launched the 63,000 Project, which aims to promote national research studies that will inform instruction, training materials, and product development so we can help all 63,000 children with visual impairments in the United States to achieve their potential. The future looks bright. I am now in my second generation of Camp Abilities athletes, having hosted five children of former campers at our last winter Camp Abilities in Brockport. This year, 2022, we are planning on helping with the second summer of Camp Abilities Switzerland. Some states like Florida and Arizona are now getting their second camps. The journey continues, and I am so grateful. Clearly, I find it hard to say no to a good idea. Why is this work so important? How does society benefit from Camp Abilities? I believe that a just society must make an honorable place for everyone, especially those who have been marginalized. For example, if you never see a person who's blind running, kayaking, biking, playing baseball, or hiking up a mountain, you will have only a narrow view of the experience of being blind. But if you see people who are blind, visually impaired, or deafblind engage in activities you don't expect, your understanding of human potential will expand accordingly. A healthy society needs to see and become inspired by people who conquer challenges while striving toward their potential. Among our Camp Abilities friends, we often refer to each other as our camp family. When one of us gets married, a good portion of the wedding party will likely be camp friends, often enough because the couple met at camp, among like-minded people who share values and dreams. We even have several Camp Abilities babies from couples who met at camp, got married, and are now raising a second generation of volunteers. When someone starts a new camp, they call on the camp family circle to come and help that first year. When someone has a baby, they get a Camp Ability onesie. At a recent vision conference, I met a woman from Texas named Janice, who was blind and a transition counselor. She had worked at the Texas Camp Abilities for 4 years. I had never met Janice before this, but I felt I knew her just the same, what made her proud, what she did in her free time, and what her hopes and dreams were for her students. Welcome to the Camp Abilities family. Together, we can make the world a better place for everyone.